day draws to an end and we watch you collect your belongings. We hide our emotions by painting smiles upon our faces. It's what we do best. Everything is fine. It's just an ordinary dismissal.
Hi, I'm Amy Dunstan and I'm one of the assistant heads at Birchwood Special School in Melton Mowbray.
Hi, I'm Robbie Hesketh and I'm one of the teachers in the autism provision at Birchwood School in Melton Mowbray.
And I'm Rosalind Hopkins, head teacher.
So we meet again a few months on from when we first came back in September to just reflect on the term that we've had, a term in a special school during a global pandemic. I'm ready for a break, but the news keeps coming from the government about things that are going to happen next term. At the moment, I'm wondering to what extent we're going to be able to switch off and at the same time be ready for the new term.
Thinking back to more recently, kids did really well coming back. We talked about using those words of like resilience. They were excited about coming back. I've actually noticed more recently a lot more questions from the students I particularly work with. And they're asking, why are we in school if the numbers are so high? Why are we still wearing face masks? Just every question that they're asking at the minute relates around sort of what's going to happen over Christmas. Are they going to be able to see family? Are schools going to close again? So there's a lot of anxieties at the minute. It's very different to what it was right at the start when they were just so happy to be back.
Yeah.
Obviously, we help as much as we possibly can to give them the answers that we can kind of understand, and we can support them as best as we possibly can in that sense. But actually, we don't have all the answers. But it is, I think it is having an effect now on their mental health and on anxieties and stress. And we're seeing that a lot more. So we're having to put a lot more personal, social, health, education, citizenship sessions in just to alleviate those worries and those concerns. I don't know if you're finding that as well, Amy.
Yeah, I think you're right in terms of the school had produced a really robust response for our recovery curriculum, which was brilliantly delivered and put together by some very skilled staff and input from lots of professionals, which I think was really powerful. And we came back, you know, our first inset after the summer break was focused on the recovery curriculum and what we needed to do and put in place in order to support our young people. And on reflection, it's almost like we did that and flooded it for staff and for the kids. And actually more now towards the back end of this term is when perhaps there's that emphasis shifting back onto more of those academic aspirations and expectations, whereas what we're seeing is some of the damage that we predicted, some of the trauma that we expected is actually now beginning to perhaps manifest itself, and often we see that through behaviour and the world being very different, and then them coming back to a school that still wasn't and isn't the same school and doesn't look exactly the same, that I think more now than ever we need to be going back to and re-looking at how we can support that recovery, because it actually feels more needed now than perhaps it did in that first few weeks.
I think it is because of Christmas though, isn't it? It's the idea of Christmas is family time. Christmas is when we can do all these exciting things. And actually, there's so many things that we can't do at the minute. We've got a lot of students that want to see other family members that have been told that's not going to happen. You can't do it. With all the tier system in place, it's just not feasible and it's not safe. And I think the students that particularly I'm overseeing at the minute, they've got so many concerns about what Christmas is going to look like, what Christmas is going to be. And we've had like the Christmas production and things like this where it's been so different, but it's been amazing. Like what has been put together has been absolutely phenomenal. But it is so different, and we're not all coming together to celebrate all these things. And I think it's been a massive learning curve for everybody that we've just got to get on with it, because this is how life is at the minute. But it's not nice, and it's not nice to see how tough it is for these students who are coming in every single day, and we can't see that the granny, we can't see your nan, you can't see your dad, you can't see your mum. It's going to be really tough. It's quite sad to see at the minute, because this is supposed to be an exciting time for them. But yeah, it's tough.
Just listening to what you've been saying has really reminded me that when we came back, I think there was almost a kind of euphoria that we were back into something that felt like normal. You know, within a couple of weeks, we had the vast majority of students back in school. We had all our staff back in school. People were well prepared. They were taking it in their stride and seemed genuinely happy to be back at work. And I began the process of thinking about all the normal things that we would do in September. So staff performance management and appraisals, looking at various other things, governors meetings, all the, if you like, leadership, housekeeping stuff that you have to do to run a school and keep things moving forwards. And I even started to think about, we need to look at our lesson observations. And then there was this point in time where I thought to myself, actually, you've got to move the goalposts, because all the things that you would normally do in the term, the first half term, and then into the second half term, you're not going to be able to do, because there's this other parallel workload, which is all related to COVID. And actually, that has to take priority, because that is the safety. And in the end, I think I remember having an SLT meeting where we talked about a lot of the things that were outstanding that we'd normally have done by now. And I found myself saying, actually, our biggest goal this year, the biggest target for us this term at the very least, is to stay open. And it was the most basic school objective or school priority. Our priority is to stay open for as many of our young people and to do that safely. And that was a real shift in mindset. Staying open is a given. Being open as a school during term time is absolutely what's expected. So it was a real shift in mindset, and having to then sort of decide as a leader what things need to be put to one side, things that we've crafted, things that we've thought were really important to help make sure that we're this fantastic environment, what things need to be put to one side and shelved, and what things do we need to hone in on and focus on and make sure are right. So it wasn't just those changes to the curriculum that needed to happen. It was also around that overall leadership of the school, so that we could make space for managing the day-to-day stuff that the coronavirus was throwing up for us. But for me, it was also about staying on top of the advice from the government. There was daily information coming through about different things we needed to do. But that sort of flexibility of thought. Another thing that hit me hard about halfway through this term was about contact with the students. So I've never wanted to be a head teacher that is only ever in the office doing the paperwork side of things and looking at a screen. And yet I do find at the best of times that actually that dictates a lot of what I need to do. But the parts of the day that I've enjoyed, or the bits that help me stay in focus, is when you go walk around the school and perhaps visit a classroom, spend a bit of time with that class, checking in on staff, start looking at yourself as a potentially causing the young people harm. If you're not careful, if you're not watching what you do, if you're not being very careful about your interactions. And in a school where the communication can't always be carried out at 2 meters and cannot always be carried out verbally, that was really difficult. And then some days going home and being quite paranoid that maybe I'd got too close or spent too long talking to somebody and hadn't been careful enough. And having to think like that over a long period of time is really draining. And I think it does start to affect everybody's mental health a little bit. And obviously staff being quite worried and people having different approaches and different interpretations of what social distancing looks like. Obviously, during the lockdown, we had staff in and people were in work, but it was in far fewer numbers. So it was obviously a lot easier to operate around social distancing. And the fact that the school felt so empty and nothing was at all normal meant that it was almost easier to remember to do it. But once everybody was back in the building, we have greater numbers of children and young people and staff, it was a constantly trying to remind ourselves that we needed to stand back. We needed to be making sure that we're wearing face masks every time you step out of a room or if you're in a room with other adults. And I think that is a real culture change that's been thrust upon us, but that we sort of took in our stride at first, but I think does start to impact you psychologically.
It gets confusing, doesn't it? It gets to the point where you might have spent a little bit of time with somebody that you wouldn't normally from a different class talking through strategies or support for students, and then all of a sudden you're thinking as you walk away, should I have been that close? Well, I was wearing a mask, but we were in the same corridor. You start like questioning yourself,
yeah,
constantly, and that's not normal. Just having a conversation with somebody, that's normal, but having to think about what the repercussions were or which students they might be working with or which students you're working with, how that's going to affect everybody around you. It's been really tough. And I think through going all the way through the term thing, sometimes you forget and you're closer to people than what you should be. And then you realize and you move away, and that those social interactions have become so strange. And that's not just like for staff, that's students as well, where they're so, like what you said, Roz, you're so used to going to see different students, going and the students seeing different students and spending time with each other outside. We can't do it. So what's happening is they're spending a lot of time in their bubble, which is great because we're forming fantastic bonds and the social interactions are amazing. Specifically for my class, some of them have been asking me if they can spend time in a different class with students that they might have seen, that they're wearing an Among Us jumper. I want to go and spend some time with them. It's like, unfortunately, I can't let you. And then you go through the whole process of why, and they're really good at understanding why, but it is just you feel like sometimes you're stopping interactions that could potentially be amazing. And because you're thinking so much about what happens if I'm carrying it and it goes to that class, what happens if that student's doing it, it's really, you find yourself like I say, questioning yourself all the time and questioning the staff choices and the student choices. And I think it makes the job a hell of a lot harder.
Yeah.
We've spent a lot of time, I think, over the last few years, like during my Birchwood journey, really trying to encourage staff to be collaborative, for us to embrace and use that open door policy. Because one of the things that, you know, that I was really aware of when I first started at Birchwood is we'd got a vast amount of a wealth of experience staff within the building, that the things that I might be struggling with in my class with a young person that I'm working with, just down the corridor, there was someone who had got that answer, someone that had got another little part of the magic wand, the next bit of the puzzle that would help me. And we've had to really, I feel like we've been on a real journey, a culture shift in terms of us sharing those things, because there is a temptation sometimes within education that I make sure that I get in my classroom, in my little bubble, and I create my structures and my strategies for whether that's being about teaching and learning or how I'm managing the classroom in regards to behaviour. And I can become quite insular within that. And Roz, I think you've worked really hard to empower all of us to feel confident enough to share our practice, to have, well, why don't you come down and sit in my room and watch what I'm doing there? Or perhaps you could come in and see me teaching that skill or that lesson or whatever it might be. So we've worked really hard to get to that point where staff are comfortable with that. And then what's come along is suddenly this situation where we just can't do that in that same natural way. We can't go back to that well of reserve and wealth of knowledge that we just managed to get people to plug into and use. Suddenly we're having to say to people, oh, yeah, but we can't actually do that at the moment. And I know we have tried in terms of we've still, you know, using Iris and staff reflecting on watching back videos of practice. And that's been powerful. And staff have invested in that and shown willing to share things like that, which has been great. But actually, we know it's just not the same. And I think in that same way, Rob, are you talking about the impact on staff and students? But it's undone some of the work that we've tried so hard to create as a school.
Yeah, I think it'd be really easy for members of staff in schools, not, you know, obviously not just talking about Birchwood, but across all schools in the country, to start to feel quite isolated because they're not able to mix across bubbles within school, maybe seek support or advice in the same way. There is a real risk of people feeling quite isolated. I've felt more and more detached from different parts of the school, where we've determined that with different sites we shouldn't cross the sites, so that should there be a case amongst SLT, there would always be another member of SLT that would be able to cover that person whilst they were self-isolating. And so in order to keep the school open, it's like we have had to separate ourselves out in order to keep safe and keep things functioning. And to a large extent, that approach of being quite strict about not crossing bubbles and not crossing across sites has been quite successful, because we haven't had a great deal of school closure. In fact, at Grange Drive site, we haven't had to close a bubble once. And I think there was only a couple of days at Ashburn House and then just one year group that was affected at Birchwood Vale. So overall, the total amount of school closure has been a lot less than I perhaps was anticipating. But I think that has been down to the fact that we've been able to really keep our groups quite separate. And at times, because things have been going so well, I'd hope that maybe we'll get through to the end of term without having to close off to anybody. So I was really gutted when it got to quite late on into the second half term. And that was actually when it happened that we had to close one of the bubbles down because we'd had such a good run of things up until that point. But when that happened, it really highlighted how important it was to maintain that separation because it meant that you could quite easily track the contact and say, yeah, at this point, it's got to be these people, but everybody else should be okay. But in order to achieve that, there hadn't been too much crossing across the bubbles. It has meant that we've had to ask staff to teach in a very, very different way. You know, I really do feel for all secondary school staff because asking a teacher that thrives on that communication with the young people, as anybody would tell you that teaching behind a line at 2 meter distance from your students is a really difficult way to be a good teacher. It goes against all the training that we've had. And then you ask subject specialists, asking them to teach across the school, except when they teach in a different class, they have to stay back for the students so that they maintain themselves as a not a close contact. So that's a massive ask for staff. In lots of ways, the students have accepted a bit quicker than us, I think, because they're used to that, perhaps through gaming, they're used to that kind of interaction with somebody on a screen. And there were some really funny moments, but it did strike me that it was really quite bizarre to have reached this stage in the profession where this is how I'm looking at practice and this is how we're asking teachers to work. But one of the funny parts of that was when I observed your class, Robbie, being taught by Bavna.
Yeah.
A maths lesson. So she was teaching via Teams. I was observing via Teams, but the whole thing was being recorded in Iris. And at one point I just heard one of the students say, "Roz has got a really big head." and it was because I didn't realise that you had, at that point in time, it was just me on the screen, on a massive, great big screen.
65-inch HD.
Yeah. So there's
biggest head ever.
Very big head teacher.
I don't think Roz realises she's on the screen.
No, I didn't. I didn't realise at all. I think I was having a bit of a coffee. And There's been lots of moments that have really made us laugh and the students have been really funny and watching some of the recordings of the lessons where some of the younger students that or some of the students that aren't quite so tech savvy sort of walking up to various bits of equipment and waving because they think that's where you can see them through like a little spy hole camera in the computer or something and then not realizing that the camera's somewhere else and just the funny things that young people come out with in those situations. They're quite natural in lots of ways conversely to adults. So yeah, real changes in what schools look like and what the education experience is. And yeah, it's incredible to see how people have just ran with that really and got on with it and accepted it. Because I don't know, Robbie, you're a little bit younger than us, but I don't know, there wasn't any part in my teaching practice where they said to you that you'll be filmed a lot.
No.
You know? So if anyone feels a little bit self-conscious about seeing themselves on camera, you've had to get over that fairly quickly.
But it's only within the last, I'd say the last 10 months that people have actually used Teams like this, like teaching. So yeah, so for some of the teachers that haven't, I mean, 10 years ago, from, well, it was 11 years ago that I was doing my practice, but then some people have come about saying 20 years ago, 30 years ago, there's some teachers that are 35 years ago, 40 years ago, Amy.
Oh, I wouldn't take that, Amy. Teaching looks entirely different at the moment, and I think there are some takeaways from it. There's definitely some things that we've done and experienced that I think we'll continue to use in some capacity.
This is what Jeanette has been doing. I'm going to name drop her because what she's been doing is recording the entire process of how to create an art piece to then come in and out of on teams. So she doesn't. So she's not sitting there for the entire time. She's coming in. So we've got specifics like slots when she's going to come back. So the kids have 15 minutes or 20 minutes to do that work, and then it's all. They see the demonstration. She comes back on. She gives them all the feedback. Like, it's brilliant.
The second half of this term has been particularly difficult because I think the impact on the young people's mental health and well-being has become more and more evident. I would describe COVID as like a catalyst for a lot of things that might have been on the horizon, but because of the unique circumstances around it and the way that it's really limited what parents can do and how they can access support and how, you know, health and social care are able to interact with families. What it seems to have done is it's very quickly sped up a process where young people need some quite intensive support fairly quickly. So I think we've had more emergency annual reviews this half term than I can remember ever having in a school year even. And just those sort of discussions where we're really trying to impress upon health and social care that a family has serious risk of going into crisis if we can't get a lot more external help, with staffing being quite difficult because obviously if staff members have to self-isolate, that reduces the numbers of staff that we've got in school and means that we have to move things around, but then you've got the constraints of bubbles. So all of these things go into the mix, and even though you can see it happening, it's very difficult to see how you can stop it impacting some of our most vulnerable young people in terms of vulnerabilities around their own mental health. Young people that really do need things to be consistent and predictable and not change quickly. They've had to experience all of those things happening because of us trying to manage the virus, because of the things that are happening externally, because of things that are happening nationally. And that's been really difficult to see. For me, I've had to keep reminding myself that there are just some things that you cannot change. There are some things that you cannot affect, and there are some things you cannot solve, because they're huge problems. But to see the impact of those huge problems on young people that we work with on a daily basis, to see the impact of that on individual little lives, has been very, very difficult. And it's difficult to accept that we can't necessarily make it right. So it's, yeah, that really has tested my resilience this term. But I know, Amy and Robbie, you've been involved in quite a few of those situations too, haven't you?
There's a thing, I don't know whether it's been on Facebook or one of these things that goes out, where it talks about we're not all in the same boat, but we're all in the same storm. And one of the things that I'm aware of is that everything's so mixed up in terms of the experiences that staff are having, the experiences that young people are having. So for me, I know if I'm struggling, as Amy Dunstan and those that love and know me best will know, that when I am finding things difficult, whether that be that I'm stressed or anxious or my own mental health is not everything that I would aspire it to be, then what I instinctively do and plug myself into is work. It's always been my sort of stabilizing factor that I come in and I pour into, and ensure that at times when I feel wobbly, that my professional hat stays on really nice and straight, and that my moral compass stays pointing in the right direction. And I think for this time, probably I might have thought I felt it before, but genuinely I feel at the end of this term my gauge is running on empty. I think it's really important, and I know that you started this podcast, Roz, talking about the announcements that have just come out today that make it feel like we're not going to be able to have that Christmas break that we so desperately need. But I would say to sort of anyone that's listening to this podcast, if I could whisper it to you, Roz, and you hear it, that we need a couple of weeks in order to be the best that we are. It's time to rebuild, it's time to repair, and it's time to refill. Because do you know what? Come January the 4th or 5th or whenever it is that schools go back, and we get given that huge honour and gift again to work with those young people, they're going to need for us, they're going to need for me to have rebuilt, repaired and refilled my tank in order to ensure that I can keep the hat on straight and the compass pointing in the right way, because that's absolutely what they need. But I know if I'm feeling like there's a little bit of a flag moment of me saying something needs to stop for a little while just for me to continue to be the best that I am, then that's what education staff up and down the country need to try. And I know that Christmas isn't always everyone's favourite time of the year, but just to take time to be gentle and kind and compassionate with themselves in order to then be able to come back and do the job that we're also privileged to be able to do.
I think also just to give our families a bit of time, because I know that my family have made the excuse a lot that there's a lot happening at school at the moment, that mummy will be really late tonight because she's got a case at school and we need to deal with that, or the things that we might have had planned over the weekend we can't do because we've had a phone call and we need to respond to those things. It is important to sort of almost reunite with family members and check in fully with them, not just be there in person, but to be there mentally as well. But of course, that is really, really difficult, because even within the last week, there's just been two massive announcements. So today's the 17th of December, just at the beginning of the week, the announcement that, you know, potentially a positive thing, that we would be able to test students so that we could be sure that they were negative. But then how do we do that? How do we test secondary students and how do we manage that? And then the next thing being that the government have said that in order to prepare for that, that our secondary age students will be potentially coming back to school later. So I don't really know how at the moment how that looks for special school or how that will work for our families. I don't have the answer. And the worrying thing is that actually in order to work out how we're going to do that so that families are prepared and know what's happening next, that's going to take time. And that's going to mean that I can't stop tomorrow and rest. And yet we need to. It is like running a marathon, but not really being told how long it is. You just got to keep going. But that's a very dangerous way to operate, isn't it? If you want to stay well. So there are record numbers of people leaving education, particularly leaving headship. Does anyone feel like they're in the wrong job? Has it put you off?
No.
I think what it's made the people that love this job realise is how much we love this job.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That we enjoy coming into work regardless of what the day brings and what COVID brings. We come here not for ourselves. And you hear people saying, and it's a bugbear of mine, where they say it's a really rewarding job. It's not about that at all. It's not about us feeling like that. It's about these students need people who care about them. You know you're in the right job because we're still here. And I know the pressures of the job. I'm not in any place to talk about head teachers leaving the profession or anything like that. I can only talk about myself. And for what I've seen, especially, and it could be a different experience if I was in a different school, it could be completely different. But I feel that this job has made, especially over the last 10 months or whatever it is since COVID decided it was going to take its toll on us, I feel that I know that I'm supposed to be here. I know that this job is for me. And for them to have that ability to come to our school and to be themselves is what it's about. That's the job. And it's not about me feeling rewarded. It's about them feeling that they have a place of safety and a place so that they can let every inhibition out and be themselves and never to be thought of badly, never to be thought of negatively, never to be thought of that's strange, that's not right, that's not conventional. This is who they are, and we should be celebrating it every single day. And that's my job, allowing them to be celebrated and allowing them to be themselves. And COVID has helped that because it's made me realise that this job is so important.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that it definitely makes you realise is that school is, and it always has been and it always will be, but schools are constant places. Apart from those young people's families, where they're one of the most constant things in their lives. And so to be there alongside them and see them through what is a very difficult time is, in many, many ways, it's a privilege. And the sense of that responsibility as well is huge, that responsibility that we need to keep being that constant, that we need to keep being the place that doesn't give up, the place that reaches out, a place that advocates for those families. Yeah, I mean, there's been times this term where it's been evident that when some parents have had absolutely nowhere else to turn to ask for help, that school has been that place. And even though maybe the thing they're asking about isn't necessarily related specifically to their child, they feel that this is a place they can ask a question of, and that we won't say, well, that's not really us, but that we will say, we'll go away and find out where can answer that question. And you know, it's sad then sometimes to discover that there isn't necessarily an answer, but the fact that they had somewhere to ask and someone else to talk to about it. And I think COVID has forced us to really condense what is important about school, what's important about education. And in doing that, it's for those people that are really passionate about what they do, it's made them realise that actually more than ever, it's what they want to do. But then I think what has been frustrating for so many people in education is that the support isn't necessarily always there, or the resources aren't always there to do the job well. And I think one of the main reasons why lots of people do consider leaving education isn't necessarily because they didn't love teaching or didn't love those interactions with young people, but it's because they felt frustrated that they weren't able to do it as well as they wanted to because of resources and access to the things that they felt those young people deserved and needed. And that frustration is very, very wearing on everybody. And I think that's why people in the end feel that they can't quite meet everybody's needs, that it is overwhelming. But the demands are too big and too much.
Obviously, if there are lots of people that are leaving the profession during this time, then evidence says that there has been an impact. It's strange, isn't it, that during this time, I know that I've really felt it's been for the large majority of the time, it's felt a privilege to be able to be involved in a job that has meant that I've left the house and come into work, certainly during that time where everyone was everywhere and you know, the vast majority of things, and lots of my friends, you know, have now been working from home for months and months and months. And the fact that I was getting that opportunity to still come to work and spend time with people, which then we know there's been the reverse of that perhaps for all of us, and in those more tricky times where you do have moments of perhaps just wishing that you could batten down the hatches for a little while and keep your own bubble safe. We talked about it in one of our earlier podcasts, but all that rhetoric that went around, you know, clapping for the NHS and that sense of community spirit and fundraising and all those, you know, amazing things that people did. And then that the slap in the face that came afterwards, that is, but we're not going to have that represented in any way that signifies a pay increase. Bestest friend's a nurse, and just hearing that sense of sadness and disappointment that ultimately those people that had been directly frontline, putting themselves and their families at risk, making huge sacrifices. And I worry about professions like that. And, yes, and that's what this pandemic has really highlighted, that there are certain professions that do keep the country moving. And schools, like you said, we know that it's more than just a school, and we've had to be so many different things, and it is a privilege. But yeah, the pressure and then the saddest moments during this time have been about listening to people who have felt so undervalued, who had actually done that, you know, that thing that we talk about that's passionate and that's blood, sweat and tears and is all consuming, to then be not valued.
They've exploited their care.
Mm-hmm. So when we talk about in teaching, and I think you're right, Roz, I think there'll be lots of people that I've met along my journey that have been inspiring teachers, really passionate, but actually the stressors of the job ordinarily, let alone over these last however many months, because of those pressures that you've talked about, have driven what could have been remarkable people working with students out of the profession because of the pressures that are placed upon them. I feel incredibly lucky to be here at Birchwood School and to be part of a senior leadership team that's led by yourself, Roz, where I feel supported and I feel valued. And I hope that all our staff feel that. The gifts that you sent out at the end of this, you know, little appreciation to all the staff, that you saying, Roz, that in our eyes, they're the heroes of 2020. And that's, you know, said and meant with such absolute genuine appreciation and value. But if I was in a school where I had gotten to the point where I was struggling so much with my own compassion fatigue, with my own mental health, with having witnessed some really, really difficult things and not having the chance to properly debrief and know where to put some of the things that have happened during the last 10 months, had I have been experiencing all that without feeling valued or without feeling cared about, yeah, then I think the situation could be different, because I'm sure that there are different jobs where that expectation wouldn't be there. But certainly in this situation, in this school, with this team, these remarkable young people, these incredible staff, then it's going to take more than COVID to change my mind.
I'm so pleased to hear that. Okay. Well, listen, guys, thank you so much for your time. It's always really hard to find time. It feels like a bit of a luxury to find time to sit back and reflect. But it is so valuable, because I like to think that we'll forget how we feel right now. Or if we don't forget how we feel, we'll forget some of the experiences and forget what it felt like to be in December 2020. So hopefully, via the podcast, we've captured some of that. And when we feel ready, we might be able to listen back.
I hate doing that.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, bye.
Merry Christmas.
Oh. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
It's really strange listening back to our reflections from last term. Christmas came, but it wasn't the one we were hoping for. Some staff and students tested positive over the Christmas period. And as late as Christmas Eve, we needed to get in contact with families to let them know that their child needed to self-isolate over the Christmas period. It really was everything we'd been dreading. By the new year, we needed to turn our minds to lateral flow testing in school and setting up a test centre, so that we could somehow get all of our secondary age pupils tested along with our staff. But things changed again when it was announced that there would be another lockdown, lockdown 3. This signified the closure of schools, but not for us in special school. Special schools like Birchwood were to remain open during lockdown 3 to the vast majority of our students. This created a problem for us in terms of meeting the demand for places and being able to staff the schools safely. Many of our own staff needed to stay home with their children due to the limited number of critical worker places within mainstream primary and secondary schools. But the level of care and dedication that our staff have shown has not gone unnoticed within our community.
That's what we do best. Everything is fine. It's just an ordinary dismissal.